And welcome, henchmen, back to another action-packed episode of the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, brought to you by the Villains of Man, where I, JVD, attempt to traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can do so by searching us out over on Twitter or Instagram. If you want to keep up with myself, JVD, you can do so over on Twitter at JVD of TVD. Now today we're only covering one issue, which is Iron Fist number 13. And it has the villain Boomerang on the cover. It's got some awesome artwork by David Cockrum and Irv Watanabe, as it seems like they're on a dock and Iron Fist is kicking some type of henchman as Boomerang is flying through what looks to be some water in the background. And it's the only issue that we're covering for this, and you're going to really get this with these last couple issues here in this run of Iron Fist. I'm all going to do them one at a time. Now, issue 13 here come out on March 1st, 1977. There was 9 other titles that dropped during this issue. So that was Marvel Treasury Edition number 14, Daredevil 146, Invader 17, Kid Colt Outlaw 218, Cole the Destroyer, Kid Colt Outlaw 218. If this is in 1977, and that's an old book, and it's all the way at like 218, that kind of surprises me. But anyways, Marvel Premiere number 36, Marvel 2-in-1 number 28, Supervillain Team Up number 12, and Tomb of Dracula number 57. Now, the creative team for this book, titled Target Iron Fist, is your writer Chris Claremont. Your pencil, John Byrne, which that's been the team for this book. Inkers is Dan Atkins. Colorist is Marie Severin. Letters are Gaspar Saladino and Susan Fox. And the editor for this book and most of the books that we're covering right now is Archie Goodwin. After receiving a telegram from Alan Cavanaugh, Iron Fist and Misty Knight head to the SS Balaclava to meet him. As they realize the snowy pier is strangely quiet and deserted, floodlights flare to life as Boomerang attacks. Gaining the advantage, Fred Myers keeps Iron Fist on the defensive with a barrage of vicious boomerangs. To keep Misty out of the fight, 2 IRA members keep her pinned down with automatic rifles. Realizing Boomerang's biggest advantage is his rocket boots, Danny takes to the high ground to tackle him out of the air, very Obi-Wan Kenobi of him. As they land, Myers uses his boots to blast Danny off of him and into the frigid waters. Interlude. At Ward Meacham's mansion, his henchmen begin to fortify the doors, but it's not enough. Davos crashes through the barrier and quickly kills the men as Ward flees. The warrior catches up with him and forces Meacham to open fire. Easily dodging the bullets, Davos disarms and strikes Ward to the ground and gives him 2 options, disappear or die. Terrified that his enemies will find him, Ward must choose immediately as Davos informs him tonight his debts have been paid to his niece Joy Meacham, and he intends to destroy Iron Fist. Back of the pier, Misty desperately searches for Danny and fears he might have froze to death in the waters. Iron Fist finally emerges, asking what happened to Boomerang. She tells him they figured he was dead after waiting for so long and didn't want to waste any more time trying to kill her. This gives Danny hope that Alan is still alive, which doesn't sit well with Misty because she has seen his Interpol profile. That's the third take I've had on that. That's kind of a mouthful. Interpol profile. It's a good tongue twister. But anyways, an argument erupts between the two over if the former IRA member has reformed or not. After hurting one another, the two friends leave on bad terms. After following a few leads, one pays off as Iron Fist crashes through a skyline and quickly takes out the IRA gunmen who have Alan. Being indoors gives Danny the advantage as he takes to fight the Boomerang who could do nothing to stop him. Needing to get outside to use his rocket boots, Myers flees topside and flies into the air. Overconfident that he has the advantage again, he doesn't see Iron Fist sneaking behind him to tackling back to the deck. And like last time, Boomerang is prepared for close combat with the living weapon, and his newest weapon is deployed, the Rocket Ring. It rapidly grows in size. Its magnetic field that it has attaches to Iron Fist as it propels him out into the harbor. Using the power of his chi, Danny tears through the weapon and guides it back to the ship. As he frees himself in the nick of time, the Rocket Ring crashes into the ship, causing a massive explosion that sinks it. Iron Fist dives into the wreckage to save Alan, pulling him to the pier as emergency services arrive. Danny asks the police if they are the only survivors, which they tell him yes. This upsets Alan, as he wants no more blood of his enemies on his hands. Before he passes out from exhaustion, He comments that he finds the remark odd, as these men were once his close friends only 2 years ago. It's a quick story. Not a whole lot to discuss here, even though it's got Boomerang, who's become one of my favorite Marvel characters in probably the last 10 years, which I'll discuss on that because he's got some really atrocious origins that we'll get to. But first, I'm going to play you a podcasting promo from one of my friends, and when we get back, we're going to discuss Iron Fist issue 13.
Well, hello there. I'm Brian Wayne, host of the Cheers to Comics podcast, and I'm here to bring you the ultimate comic book podcast for readers and lovers and collectors of all levels. Whether you're trying to get caught up on last week's books or you're just looking to check out the latest interview with the latest creator, this is the podcast for you. So, if you're looking for a comic book show that doesn't stray away from the topic, and you're looking to get an insight from a true fan and lover of this industry, then tune into the Cheers to Comics podcast 3 times a week as I, Brian Wayne, raise a glass to this wonderful, wonderful industry that is comics. Cheers.
And welcome back to the Deadly Podcast Kung Fu with myself, JVD, as we dive in to Iron Fist number 13 from Volume 1. Now, I'm a Spider-Man guy. And I have never read the origin of Boomerang. I've always thought he was a Spider-Man villain. And he's not the kind of guy, you know, that everybody loves. He's not this main Spider-Man villain. He's not Green Goblin, Doc Ock, Venom, Mysterio. You know, he's none of these big guys. Nobody will probably ever see in a movie. And like I said, I have this horrible habit of going down the rabbit hole and reading anything referenced in comics that I'm reading, especially for the podcast. His first appearance is in Tales to Astonish 81, which was released in April 5th, 1966. 10 years before this next appearance in Iron Fist. So he has a storyline that takes place between 81 and 88. He's not in 85. But it kind of continues on with the story of the Secret Empires, your throwback. Everybody hates that new story of the Secret Empire, but there was a group called Secret Empire. During Tales of Astonished, that runs back and forth between this Hulk story and the Namor story, and the characters kind of almost cross each other's paths as they're dealing with these villains. But before I go on and talk more here about Boomerang, if you've never read Tales to Astonish 82, it has this awesome fight between Namor and Iron Man. And I'm telling you, man, Silver in the Bronze Age comics do fight so much good. And I feel that's kind of a lost thing in modern day comics now. And what's crazy is when I was reading these, I kind of took me a little break and was checking the Instagram feed. And I did not realize that Alex Ross had did an homage to this fight. And I just had just done right. I thought, wow, that's kind of a crazy coincidence. But, now, here's the thing about Boomerang, and it's a theme that we're seeing here in the Iron Fist book, is this seems to be synonymous with this story and the last story, that we're getting these redesigns of villain. Now, before this, Iron Fist fought the Wrecking Crew, and most of the Wrecking Crew does seem the same. It seems like there's a little tweak to the Zod and Thunderbolt, but Bulldozer looks completely different. If I'm around the Defenders fight, he doesn't have like a shirt or anything on, and he does in the Iron Fist Return. Now, in this book, Boomerang, or the Bombastic Boomerang, you know, Mr. Bombastic, and not Mr. Bombastic Bagman, or Spider-Man, or anything like that, but, he gets a complete overhaul, and oh my god, I've never seen Boomerang's original look. You'll be seeing this on social media with this issue. It is terrible. Holy crap. His colors are red and white, so, you know, from, like, the waist down, he looks like your typical superhero out of the, Silver or Golden Age. He's got white tights and red trunks. Now, his red trunks, they kind of pull up to his waist, and they have a boomerang. Now, other than that, he wears a blouse. He does call it a blouse in the comic book, and it has this great big B. It goes just like spiky circle that the B is in, and then around the shoulders and that go underneath the armpits background, he has all these little metal discs, these great big baggy sleeves for his blouse, red gloves. He has a red metal helmet with a red boomerang on it. he kind of looks like some strange clown. Now, what's crazy about a character calling himself Boomerang is he barely uses any boomerangs in this entire 8-issue stretch that he's in. He uses 2, and one's normal, and then one is electrified, which he has to increase the intensity just to kind of bring down Hulk. And that's the thing, he's fighting the Hulk, and he's Boomerang. He's way above his weight class, but the Secret Society, he hires him, he's an assassin for him. His main weapons are these red discs that are on his blouse. Yes, red discs. They look like washers. And he throws them, and they have an array of abilities, which we would come to see in the future is what's used on his boomerangs. But they're magnetized, and it's cool. He has this group of them that he magnetizes just to kind of drag the Hulk down. He throws a whole bunch of them, and that's pretty cool. They explode with the power of a dozen hand grenades. They spray knockout glass. They're sharp enough to cut steel. And his precision with these, because we see him like slicing gun barrels and knocking stuff out of people's hands with these old discs, it's almost like he's kind of a prototype for what Bullseye would come to be. Because when he starts to make his comeback against the Hulk, because we get this gap in 85, he throws one of these discs directly down the middle, cleanly, of a revolver and slices a gun in two. And the way he uses a lot of these, very reminiscent of what Bullseye would come to be. Now, he has an apparent death in issue 88. So, he sprays the Hulk with knockout gas. And like an idiot, he decides to try to go toe-to-toe with the Hulk. Now, during their fight, they're on a dam. And the dam already has holes blown in it. And it's going to crash. So, what's he do when he hits the Hulk with knockout gas? He comes up and tries to uppercut him. The Hulk backhands him with a strop, sends him flying, and then he tries to escape from the Hulk. He blows up the dam, thinking that'll, you know, really help fight the army, because the army's actually after him and the Hulk. He flies down at the Hulk because he still has his classic jetpack boots. He gets crammed by the Hulk again, who punches him so hard against a rock as everything's flooding around them, it breaks Boomerang's leg. The Hulk is trying to save him, but the knockout gas is affecting him, and he's slowly starting to turn into Bruce Banner. And Boomerang has this really kind of tragic death in his debut throughout the story arc, is the Hulk turning into Banner is holding onto the ledge of these rocks, and he's trying to pull Boomerang up, who is terrified that he's going to die. And Banner loses his Hulk strength, and lets him fall to his death in these raging waters that have broken free of this dam. And Bruce cannot believe that he just let him die. And it's very kind of tragic for such a goofy looking character. So now we jump up to his return here in Iron Fist number 11. And I know I'm talking a lot about Boomerang, but it's a one issue story, and he seems to really be the focus of the story outside some other stuff. Now we get this tease for him in number 11, which kind of throws you off. Because when he is talking to the two IRA agents, you don't see him. There's just two of them, and it makes the blonde guy sound like he's Boomerang. And it's clearly not. Now, when he shows up in issue 13, once the lights hit, you get this full-blown splash page where he literally is flying up from the center of the page, fist drawn out like he's kind of like Superman flying. And it's just to show you, hey, this is what Boomerang is. And it's the classic Boomerang look we've come to know for like the next 30 years of Spider-Man. Up until we had the change of the character there in the mid-2010s. As we came to know the Boomerang that we all love today. That we've really seen in like Nick Spencer Spider-Man, Superior Foes of Spider-Man. And then we get that classic look of the purple and the blue with, you know, the boomerangs up the chest and the one that continues to be on the head. I would like to see the helmet had stayed and maybe, like, the gauntlet gloves. I would like to see that in the boots. But I'm glad that they redesigned the character because, man, it had a really, really awful look to him. But him and Iron Fist, man, it's interesting. This is the first character that Iron Fist has fought that has flight. And it really seems to give Iron Fist a lot of problems as he comes flying across the ship, because Iron Fist is a melee fighter, and he has Boomerang, who's constantly flying around, picking him with boomerangs. And if you know anything about a boomerang, they're supposed to come back to you. And it's making it very hard for Iron Fist to pin him down to the ship to actually kind of defeat him. And for the most part, he kind of defeats Iron Fist. Iron Fist manages to finally get the jump on him and grapple him to the ground. But when he does, after he's taken a couple punches, Boomerang kind of gets into this role where he gets his feet underneath Iron Fist and turns his rocket boots on and sends him flying off into what I'm going to assume is the Hudson River. And he's done. And what's cool about this is it's just them two fighting. He did take him by surprise. It takes Misty Knight out of the fight because she's being pinned down by the two IRA members. And boom, the fight's over. I mean, Iron Fist pretty easily defeated because this character can fly. And if you've ever listened to Crossover Collision, the fictional battle podcast I do with Evan the Great, this is why we always discuss battlegrounds with such low-level, street-level characters like this, because, you know, a battleground matters. I mean, look at this. They're on a ship, something that Iron Fist isn't used to. It gives Boomerang all the ability he needs to kind of box Iron Fist in certain situations with his ranged advantage, and it gives him the win, just like we always talk about in the podcast. So if you're listening to Crossover Collision, please go do so. We'd really appreciate it. Now, the second fight comes right back to Battlegrounds. It's kind of funny because they're on a ship, and a shipping container ship, you know, is kind of one of our battlegrounds, which has all these containers on the top, much like this cargo ship. And then you can also fight on the bottom. It's one of the things we talk about. The second fight, Danny Rand gets the jump on him. He's in the bottom of the ship, in the rooms, where he pins Boomerang down, and he is worthless. Cannot fight Iron Fist hand to hand. He's getting the best of not only Boomerang, but the IRA members when he's saving Al and Kavanaugh. And he's throwing the boomerangs. Iron Fist is quick enough to actually block them. He has the advantage. Like I said, this is the kind of stuff we always talked about, Crossover Collision with street level characters. And he's whooping up on Boomerang, who is forced to flee upstairs and fly. So he's like, hey, I've got the advantage I've got. But he's wrong, because Iron Fist has the advantage, sneaks up on him and tackles him to the ground and continues to beat his ass. But Boomerang has an ace up his sleeve, and I kind of mentioned how all of his little throwing red washer disc, their abilities kind of move to the boomerangs. He takes off the one off of his head and throws it, and it's kind of crazy. I have no clue how this boomerang turns into the size of a hang glider. But pin particles, maybe, I'm going to guess, because, you know, we know Ant-Man is around at the time and pin particles are a thing, but this boomerang, normal-sized boomerang on top of his head, grows to the size of a hang glider. He throws it, and it's also magnetized and basically pulls Iron Fist into it. Have no clue how that works. Iron Fist has no metal on him. Maybe it's the Claremont was writing this like, hey, he's Iron Fist. It makes sense. Even though he's not using his chi, and I mean, using his fist does not turn to iron, but hey, maybe it's just a joke, it's a pun. But anyway, so it is his Iron Fist which allows him to break free during the fight. And Iron Fist takes this rocket ring, spins it back around, and blows it up to the ship. It's not the first time he's ever blown up a ship or been involved in such a thing. You can go back to episode 44, which I'm covering Deadly Hands of Kung Fu 31, which 31, 32, and 33 are in that series. And there's a big ship that explodes around the Hudson River, which I'm assuming, which is all this is taking place in. So it's not the first time he's involved in an explosion. The artwork there by John Byrne looks awesome with the explosion. I freaking love it. Now, we're told by the police at the end of this book that there are no survivors. The IRA members are gone. Boomerang is gone, and Danny manages to save Alan as he dives back in to go get him. When you look at this explosion, it's hard to tell. I was like, man, do I see Boomerang? Maybe there was just some like hint of him flying out. There is a piece of debris that's flying towards the Skrull onomatopoeia that could be a burning Boomerang, as maybe he flew away, because obviously we know that he survives based on his history. Now, the most important part of this story is the tension and the, I guess, splitting up of Danny and Misty as they've become such close friends throughout this series. And I want to go ahead and read this panel here. Misty, as she's fighting Iron Fist coming out of the water after the IRA members of Boomerang have left with Alan, she's like, but oh man, you're alive. You've got no idea what that means to me. And Danny says, Misty, why didn't they try to get you too? They tried, pal, but I went for cover on the pier, one of them said they couldn't waste the time to find something about falling behind schedule. Why? I'll bet that means Kavanaugh's still alive. And if he is, I've still got to try to save him. Misty replies, you're joking. I seen your friend's Interpol file, Danny. He's a terrorist bomber, a murderer, even if no one could make the charge stick. And if his own people want him dead, more power to him. Which just angers Iron Fist. How can you say that, Misty? What's Alan ever done to make you feel this way about him? He's done this, and she shows him the bionic arm up above the sleeve where, you know, it still looks mechanical and doesn't have, I guess, synthetic skin on it. He's done this, maybe not him personally, but someone like him clowns with bombs, to whom the ends justify the means. And the bigger the body count, the bigger the headline. One of his kind cost me my right arm. Others cost people their lives, and I'm damned if I'm going to lift a finger to save that scum's life. This gets pretty heated. Danny comes back with, Alan's not like that, Misty. He's a decent, tormented man, living on his own private hell. Man who's my friend, and if that isn't good enough for you, then maybe I'm not good enough for you either. Back in Iron Fist number 6, there is the flashback where she is a police officer, and then the flashback, the captain says, memories, years gone now, yet still terribly fresh, clear, patrolwoman Misty Knight, 12th Precinct, NYPD, working the day shift. Reaction, fast, instinctive, futile, as someone yells, my God, that man, he's throwing a bomb. Everyone get down. She grabs it and throws it and explodes and takes her arm. So what I'm gathering is this is the whole reason that Alan Kavanaugh is a character for this story, to help build the tension in between these characters, because he really hasn't added a whole lot to the character, and it builds really good tension between Misty and Danny, because these two have become really close friends, and we know that there's feelings starting to develop between them. And now Danny's stuck in a spot where he has a guy who has risked life and limb to help him, which we've seen back in issue 5, much like Misty Knight has. And it's kind of a bad coincidence for him that he's an IRA member who is a former terrorist who has tried to clear his name and realizes the error of his ways when he killed women and children. And he also has a friend who has basically lost an arm to a terrorist in New York City and who is robbing a bank. Really great storytelling. This is why Claremont's one of the greats in history when it comes to this. And we see her, Danny, leave, and she's pretty upset about it, and she says, oh, Danny, don't, and then this is where everything kind of comes to a head. That's laying things on the line for sure, pal, but if that's the way it's got to be, then maybe you aren't. I'm taking Tower's assignment, Danny, and if you never see me again, it'll be too soon. And that's the split between these characters, and it's really well written, because this entire time, you really have no clue why Alan Kavanaugh is a part of this story. We just know he's there. He showed up in 5. We've seen some flashbacks as he's tried to come and visit Danny on his way to New York. And this is what it is. It's great storytelling. It's perfect. I love it. And you didn't even really need Boomerang to tell this story. He's not even important. He's just coming back. After this, he goes back and fights the Hulk, I think, in Defenders. He's not important. The story of this could have easily just been the IRA versus Danny and Misty. And the story probably actually would have been a lot better, because the IRA, if you know anything about the IRA being a terrorist organization or freedom fighters, depending, I guess, on what side of the fence you sit on. And it's weird that I've referenced the IRA with the bombing in issue 3 and 4, where we found out about Misty's arm. Interesting, I didn't think about that and put that together. But still, if it was just the IRA that they would have fought, I mean, I know that doesn't make any sense, but just following them to Alan Kavanaugh just to kill Iron Fist off so he couldn't be a problem due to Alan, I think that would have made the story that much more better, and there was no need for Boomerang. But yeah, really great storytelling. Love it. It's perfect. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu. I'm JVD. You can follow me on Twitter at JVD of TVD. You can follow Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu over on Twitter and Instagram at Deadly Kung Fu Pod. I've kind of been dabbling here in Discord. Everybody's always talking about Discord. Seems to be where the comic book people really are, is on Discord. I've been over there with the Bronze Age Monster guys. I just got over on Multiverse of Badness, who were on a couple episodes ago. More on that in the next episode. But yeah, I'm kind of lurking around trying to figure it out. Really reminds me of like old school Marvel.com chat boards, which I used to be pretty big on way back in the day. And getting around just kind of seeing what people are saying and whatnot. And I think, man, I hate social media. Do I really even want to do this? But yeah, I'll stick around, try it out, see what it's like. But also, if you like music, check out Kuro over on SoundCloud. The song's called Rushing Tiger. But in the end, guys, remember, support your favorite podcast, support your local comic book shops, and keep reading comics, guys.